Resistance is futile. The revolution has begun.
You're listening to Rebelpreneur Radio, helping you break the rules and build the business you need for the life you want. And now, broadcasting his pirate signal
from somewhere beyond the status quo,
here's your host, best-selling author, marketing and media strategist, Ralph Brogdon.
Hello and welcome to Rebelpreneur Radio. It's the show that helps you build the business you need so you can live the life you want. I am Ralph Brogdon. Part of living the life that you want to live involves having healthy, happy babies. Without healthy, happy babies, life cannot continue. But this is the circle of life. And today's guest is a specialist in helping people to have healthy, happy babies. And she makes a lot of people happy in the process by working with them. My guest is Elizabeth Mucci. She is... As a scientist, she is a nutritionist and herbalist with a master's in reproductive medicine and over 23 years' experience as a clinician and teacher. Elizabeth has helped thousands of patients start their families, manage chronic illness, lose weight, gain hormonal balance, and overcome a range of unresolved health issues. This sounds like a fascinating person. If you can solve all of these problems, I know a lot of people that would benefit from this. Elizabeth Mucci, welcome to Rebelpreneur Radio.
Thanks for having me, Ralph.
And you're joining us from down under in Australia.
I am.
Wonderful, wonderful.
It's the accent.
Yeah, that gave you away. Mine gives me away sometimes, too. So it's wonderful to connect with you in Australia. Tell us a little bit. I mean, you've got a lot of credentials behind you, and 23 years of experience. But tell us a little bit about who you are, how you got started in your field.
I'm a reproductive health specialist. And so basically what I do is I have a master's in reproductive medicine, a science degree where I specialized in biochemistry and physiology. And then I went on to do herbal medicine and nutritional science. And so I mixed all that together and created my method of working with people. So it's pretty exciting. I try as much as I can to go as natural as I can. Most of the time I can stick to all natural sort of means to heal people. And I'm integrative basically. So I work with both sides of medicine, natural as well as orthodox if I need to.
Okay. And what is there a story behind what got you interested in this area?
Absolutely. When I was 15, I started working with handicapped children and kids with special needs. And I did that till I was 20. And I was finding out a lot of the reasons as I was going along, what had happened to the children, why they had had brain damage or physical damage, or, you know, how did they get to where they were? And it's not always genetics. I think a lot of people think it is. It's actually a lot of times things go wrong. They may have got an infection, or they may have just been weakened in the womb, and then it created these issues. And I remember thinking, if there's anything that I can do, anything I can do to reduce this, that's what I want to do. That's my legacy. I want to be able to help families not experience what I was working with and what these poor families were working with and the poor children themselves. And so I went on to, I was always very passionate about science. And so I went on to do my science degree. And in that I started gravitating. I worked with some amazing professors who specialized in reproduction. And lo and behold, I was just, you know, saturating some of them with these questions of finding out that actually a lot of the stuff that we were doing in our lifestyle were having these outcomes where they were actually creating problems.
Wow.
And that gave me that passion. I thought, I can actually do this. This is what I'm here for. I can change how the outcomes for these families. And so I went on to do that. I studied after my biochemistry physiology degree, I went on to give myself some tools other than the tools that most people are used to using. So I did nutritional science, and then I also did herbal medicine. And that allowed me, with such an understanding of my biochemistry, it allowed me to manipulate people's bodies using those tools. And then, because I was having such great successes and doctors were finding out about me very quickly, I went on to do a master's in reproductive medicine. So it gave me a lot more respect in that world. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. So tremendous. So you saw a problem and you realized it's a problem that you can do something about. Mm-hmm. Not an unsolvable problem, but something that you could put your finger on and say, well, here's a behavior that is contributing to this problem. And if I can change the behavior, I can change the outcome and transform lives. That must have been a powerful feeling to be able to do that.
Yeah, it was. And actually seeing it transform and transform quickly. And I was getting amazing results in people that were told that they basically had to just accept that this was their lot in life. That gave me more passion, more drive to go deeper. So it's been a fantastic journey, but also just to see it all unfold. It was almost, you know, science is sort of like that. You put forth a hypothesis and then you're not just going willy-nilly. You've got a really good sort of guess because of your understanding. And then to have all this fall into place, and it was even better than what I had thought. It was in sometimes easier than what I thought, because they people were coming to me saying my problem's almost, I've been told there's nothing I can do. And then they've gone on to have 3 and 4 children. and even though they're quite old, considered old in the world of fertility. So it's been, it's been an amazing journey. Wow. Very exciting.
Wow. When did it dawn on you that you could actually take what you've been learning, apply it to people, and that becomes your purpose? That becomes your business, the way that you help people. What was that like?
I think what happened is, as I was going through my science degree, I was already, before I even got into the medicine side of stuff, I was already starting to give advice to a whole heap of people that I was coming across. And they were starting to thank me. And I was thinking, that's just basic science. I don't understand why no other people haven't told them this. It was really basic science. Hmm. So that's where it started to dawn on me that, hang on a minute, maybe I'm good at this. Maybe this is something that I've naturally done. Since I was raised in a family that way too. We were very much helpers. We were very much people that, you know, helped the underdog, tried to solve problems, would read books if we needed to. We would sort of solve problems from the time I was very young. I actually did it in primary school as well. I was tutoring other children because I couldn't understand why they didn't understand mathematics. And so I would sit with them, and I taught my ex-husband how to read in 2 weeks. He couldn't read and write and went on to do a master's himself. I don't know. Maybe I've got that ability to, maybe it's intuition, maybe it's teaching, but the combination has sort of worked for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just very early on, I knew I was here to heal. I knew that.
Powerful, powerful. Yeah. But it's really exciting when someone finally figures out what their strength is, what their superpower is, and then they figure out, this is what I'm here to do. And turns out you've been doing it all along, just been taking it to different levels as you go. So that's exciting. So tell us about infertility. The information I'm looking at says that 70% of your patients have failed in vitro fertilization, but most go on to have healthy, happy babies. I mean, that sounds amazing. And hard to believe. Mm-hmm. How do you account for that?
So, yeah, it seems a little bit sort of almost outrageous. That's what normally people will come to me and they're saying, surely, especially early on when I wasn't as well known, they were saying, surely a bunch of nutrients and herbs aren't going to make a big difference. They didn't understand that actually it was a lot more than that. So I'm just using that as a tool. There's a very deep understanding of what's actually going on here. So what often happens is when you go down the road of artificial reproductive therapies, whatever that may be, you wouldn't just do that from the word get-go. So you've already been struggling with either hormones or trying. You wouldn't just go. That's not your first call to go down that path. But for a lot of doctors now, that tends to be their way of, they don't know really what to do with you. So GPs or general practitioners will just go, oh, this is not my area. You're having fertility issues, so I'm going to send you down to this area. So the specialist will then go, let's do maybe a little bit of testing. And people by that stage are really worn out. A lot of the time they're panicking. There's a lot more out there sort of causing panic. And sometimes rightly so, you'll have the opposite patient that will be really quite laid back, even though they're 43. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, I look young, so I'll get there. I just haven't really tried yet. So you'll get the other extreme. But often you'll get young people who are 30 going, I need IVF because I'm not falling pregnant. They may have tried for 6 months or something like that. Instead of looking at, well, why aren't they falling pregnant? People just go right down the road of, a doctor's told me this, so therefore they're the specialist, so I must be in that category. And so they go down that path. Once you've gone down that path, because it's seen as the gold standard, then people just stay there. They just think there's no way, like, why would you go from a gold standard back to trying to fix my body and working on things? So that's why a lot of people end up down that path. So therefore, if sitting in front of me, I'm their last resort, a lot of them have already done IVF, and actually a lot of IVF. They've done everything. Some of them have done, gone on to use donor eggs, donor sperm. They're still not working. And then they go on to fall pregnant with their own babies. So even though, because they're not looking outside the box. And so a lot of the time infertility, there's lots of reasons why you don't fall pregnant. And therefore, it's not just let's make an embryo and let's put an embryo in the uterus. That's a very small part of it. It's keeping the embryo. It's not causing defects. It's why are you even in an IVF situation in the first place? So I go on to do all the gray area sort of stuff, you know?
Interesting. So how long, what you said triggered a thought, how long should someone try before they reach out and say, this isn't working? Is it 6 months, a year? How long is the right amount?
So normally they say a year, depending on your age and depending on what's going on in your life. Most people, you would see a pregnancy within 18 months, right? If that doesn't happen, then you know, okay, something's not right. To me, that's too long. To me, if you're not falling pregnant in 6 months, something's going on. You might be making embryos and you're actually miscarrying them, but you actually don't know that you're doing that. So you should, when you are very fertile, you should be pregnant pretty quickly.
Okay.
I've actually had people fall pregnant who've done years of IVF on the withdrawal method of trying not to fall pregnant. That's how easy they fell pregnant, even though they did years of IVF, because as soon as you start solving problems, it should be very quick that you're falling pregnant.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. So what is the process like when people reach out to you? What is the biggest problem that you really have to solve with them before you can take them and get them to a place where they're ready to get pregnant? Is it psychological? Is it physiological? Is it a combination of all the above? What would you say?
So everyone's different. So some people, there may be a psychological aspect. The psychological aspect often comes after the traumatizing process of not falling pregnant. So it gets worse with time. So they may have started off being maybe somebody was stressed, and then that's cause them to behave a certain way, maybe eating or maybe starving themselves or trying to problem solve or whatever's happening in the beginning. But what ends up happening is as they start trying, they start panicking, especially certain people, if that's their weakness. So then it gets worse. It's like a cascade. It gets massive, a massive problem. And then that type of level of stress then creates some serious sort of stuff when it comes to fertility.
So there's a definite mind-body connection. It's not...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like when the boss says, firings will continue until morale improves. So it's like...
Exactly.
the more I don't get the result I'm after, the more stress I create, the harder it is to achieve the result. And there's that vicious cycle around and around.
Exactly. And also there are many other things, like from infections to autoimmune diseases to being overweight, underweight. Like there are so many, and a lot of them aren't dealt with. So it depends what sits in front of me. Some people are super relaxed and they're still infertile. So it's more the fact that stress level does play a role because it raises cortisol, but there could be insufficiencies. It could be genetic. So there's certain genetic predispositions that sets you up for almost aging more quickly if you're in the wrong environment. And so therefore the eggs are getting older much faster.
So stress.
So that's why you'll see
stress in a certain environment and how you respond to it. It actually prematurely ages you, and therefore makes it more difficult. Wow, that's amazing. Well, that's a definite mind body connection. Wow,
absolutely
incredible.
Absolutely.
So stress is creating a chemical reaction in the body, and that affects different people different ways. But one way it can affect them is the pregnancy, the fertilization process.
Oh, absolutely. That's why being happy and positive and laughing can actually heal cancers. And then being bitter and critical and pessimistic can create cancers.
Mm.
So you can control those chemicals in your body. That's what I love about my degree, because we look deeply into the biochemistry of what happens.
Mm.
It's really powerful, and we can heal ourselves that way.
And I imagine you can do that without artificially injecting chemicals, i.e. prescription medication, to try and mess with that. Your approach is herbs and natural, and get what you need from things that grow, not from things that you buy at the drugstore.
That's right. So what I look at is I look at all the biochemistry of somebody. I know we go and deep dive into who is this person, even their genetic background, like where have they come from in the world, because that also plays a part on their genetics, and then go, right, let's support this and let's get them to perfection so that now they're super fertile and all their weaknesses have sort of been supported, almost like a scaffolding system. You know, you can load a roof up as long as you put all the scaffolding and the walls up underneath, but a lot of people are walking around with massive gaps, so it falls through and you haven't got a good support for what needs to happen, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. And it reminded me of a video I saw on YouTube of someone who had solar panels stacked across the garage roof, and it just collapsed in because it had no support underneath. And that's visually what's happening when we're supporting our biochemistry the way we should.
Absolutely.
So someone listening to this, and this discussion is triggering the desire to let's explore this path as an alternative, as a possible solution. What are a couple of things, or maybe three things, they could begin doing right now to try and get some movement in the right direction, even before they go and seek help from a professional like you or from their doctor?
So straight away, like I like to sort of frame it up where people, if you think of the science, if we were in a jungle right now, a nice lush jungle with plenty of food around us, we are built for that. So if you're sitting there thinking, what could I get my hands on? One, would I have a refrigerator? Would I have cupboards that I could just open up and get whatever I want? Tonight I feel like this, tonight I feel like that. You wouldn't be able to do that. It would all be about working for your food. You'd be catching, climbing, running, you know, hunting. Mm. You'd be doing all that. So everything would be fresh. Everything is literally from tree or from animal to a fire or on a table, and that's it. So everything's fresh. So as soon as we start adding a lot of these chemicals that are for preservatives and refining and so that we can have shelf life, those are causing issues for us. When you're thinking about could you get things like alcohol really easily in a jungle? No way. Could you sit there and get biscuits and lots of bread and stuff? You couldn't. So that's the stuff that's causing issues. They're not poisonous to the point where we would drop dead right then and there, but it's putting a massive toll on our body and it's telling our body stuff. So we're going, oh, excuse me, can't sort of deal with fertility because that's not life-threatening right now. I've just got to deal with all these toxins because this will kill me. If I don't deal with that alcohol right now, I will die. I'll get alcohol poisoning. So I'll just deal with that first and then I'll come back to you. And because of lifestyle, it gets worse and worse and worse. And it's not a switch on, switch on, off. When it comes to hormones, these are taking 3 months to get out of your system to change or to improve. And so you're needing that length of time. So what you're needing is a really clean lifestyle. Sort of go, what could I get? Could I get eggs? Could I actually grow something? Those are the ways we are meant to be eating. And then also from, like we've already touched on, from a cortisol level, anything, if you again go back to the jungle, we're built in a way that anything that creates fear, anything that creates trouble will give signals to our ovaries and to the testes to quickly drop hormones so that we are not fertile, so that we're not put at greater threat by having to now be pregnant and hold a pregnancy. So when you're not also eating well, the body goes, hang on, I can hardly look after you. How could I look after something else? Wow. So it does it by sabotaging our fertility. So that's just basic sort of stuff, let alone other complicated sort of things that go on. But I will deal with people that don't have fallopian tubes. They don't have, you know, they have to go back to IVF. We know that. But still, as soon as they create this situation where they're much happier and healthier, then the embryo quality goes up. Everything gets much better with what I do. So that's why I know that we're changing the quality of eggs and sperm, because they have to go back and they get to freeze embryos and they get to, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's very logical, but people don't understand how the biochemistry is switching on and switching off.
Wow. When you described it that way, it became very clear. It's a lot like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If you're in survival mode psychologically, you can't be at this peak of self-actualization, finding your purpose in life. You're just trying to survive. You're just trying to be safe. And the physiological correlation to that is your body is just trying to keep you alive. It's putting all of its resources towards survival and fighting off disease, fighting off toxins, getting rid of the poison that you're putting in there. So it doesn't have resources to allocate towards bringing a new life, birthing a new life within you. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I think people see it as not a chemical. So when I see somebody, I'm actually seeing all the biochemistry and chemicals running through their bloodstream. People don't see it that way. Just they're sort of going by feeling, but it's not. It's actually creating biochemical pathways that are going, switch on, do not go there. This is dangerous, you know, that sort of stuff. So even toxic people in your life can cause issues.
Wow.
Because they're making you quite unwell.
Makes sense. So you see people kind of like the Matrix. You see past what is there, and you're seeing everything behind the scenes of what's really going on. That's amazing. So So when this is really exciting, I'm not even a woman, and it's exciting to me to think, wow. Because I'm wondering what's going on in my body, and all this stuff is going on in women. I know men, they've got a lot going on as well.
Absolutely.
So someone listening to this and they want to reach out and learn more, do they need a doctor's referral? How does it work?
No.
Okay.
No. They would just go onto my website. This is me personally. Is that what you mean? If they want to contact me, they would go onto my website. If they want to, which is www.lifeontheinside.com.au. Make sure it's AU because I'm in Australia. That's if they want to prepare for a pregnancy, which is at least 3 months before, because it takes 3 months to make eggs and it takes 2.5 months to make sperm. So if they're trying to go, I want to be prepared and do the best that I can to have the healthiest baby and pregnancy that I can, that's what I sort of do. And I need 3 months before. And then I work with IVF if I need to, if that's where they're already at, or we solve the problems and we go on further. If they're just, anywhere at the moment, go, where do I start? I just want to sort of go maybe see a doctor. Then they can go and see their doctor and start explaining, look, I just want to have a look at my health. I want to have a look at my sugar levels. I want to have a look. Is there something there? Have I got an autoimmune? Especially things like insulin and sugar. That's a really good start to go, is there something wrong? The problem where that can take them is that if they go down that path and then they keep going down the path of medicine, they will end up with IVF. Because doctors don't have the tools to actually correct this. They only have tools to let's manipulate where you're at right now. It's not really about let's correct where you're at so you become super fertile. It's a little bit different.
Yeah. And how do you work with people? I know you're in Australia. Do you do any virtual consulting, or do you see only people in person, or how does that work with you?
No. I actually, this is where things have become a lot more exciting for me. I've always worked with people all around the world. But I used to work in a way that was really quite time consuming and taxing on the actual hours I could sort of work. But now basically because everything is virtual for me, and I do things via programs. So that means people can actually contact me via email and I'm answering their questions literally within 24 hours. And I've got their case constantly instead of waiting a month to see them again. And then I'm talking to them again and correcting. So it's much faster. It's much better this way. It's freed up a lot more time for me to do it this way. So I've been able to see more and more and more people, but I've always dealt with people all around the world. I have American patients and I've got people in Japan and over in England and been able to solve their problems. And I'll tell them exactly the type of doctor or specialist they need to find and how and what questions to ask. Then I'll get the results and then I know what to manipulate. And I just send packages over to them with all the stuff that I'm needing. The distance actually makes no difference to me. So from that perspective, and plus my daughter now I've trained, so she does a lot of my general medicine. Okay. So it's freed up even more time for me to focus on my fertility patients.
Very
excited. Yeah.
Very, very good. And great business move. This is a business program as much as about life, building the life that you want. But great way to take a problem, solve it, and then be able to scale your impact and your influence in a way that you're helping more people solve more problems and distance is no longer a factor. So that's wonderful. The website is lifeontheinside.com.au, and we will have that link on the Rebelpreneur website as well. lifeontheinside.com.au. And Elizabeth, this has really been eye-opening. I feel like I've gotten an education. Any final thoughts or words of wisdom you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I would, you know, I'm so excited to obviously try and help as many people like as I can to have their best life. And part of that is to achieve a family. For me, it's all about living your best life, get as healthy as you can. So you actually get to have the mental capacity, the physical and the emotional capacity that allows you to really see what your life's can bring. That is what I love bringing to people. No matter where they're at, if you get healthier, we know that your life is going to be better than what it is right now. We know that. So you've got more strength, more resilience, more joy.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you for your work and all the good things that you're doing. Keep up the good work. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Rao.
You've been listening to Rebelpreneur Radio with Ralph Brogdon. Download the show notes and much more at rebelpreneur.com.